Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Let's come aboard.
Happy Monday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3-hour Zero Gravity Gala. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City. Broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Milwaukee to Michigan, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
Even if you're fat.
Because they listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. So glad you're with us on a fine Monday morning, everybody.
How could it happen?
We've got a great show coming up for you this morning. We've got Steve Berline, the NFL on CBS, former Notre Dame quarterback, former NFL quarterback. He'll drop on by. We'll do NFL offseason with him coming up here in about 35 minutes from now. Always good to have Steve Berline join us. Also, a Monday means something very special in the spring. It is Alliance Primetime. We will play the highlights and give you the breakdown of the four games this weekend in the Alliance of American Football, a.k.a. the AAF. And as we say around here, AAF it. On Mondays, Bogish plays Berman, Mraz plays Tom Jackson, and I play some type of mashup of Bill Pito and Mike Florio. We like to call it Alliance Primetime, and it comes your way in hour number two, toward the end of hour number two, so about 90 minutes from now. Also this morning, we will tackle the Kaepernick story from Friday of him reaching a settlement with the NFL. We'll talk about Antonio Brown. Did he just get himself traded over the weekend? We'll discuss last night Kevin Durant of the All-Star Game winning MVP. And St. John's with a massive comeback last night over Villanova, a day after Kentucky takes out number one Tennessee. All of that coming up this morning on the show. As always, any of those topics you want to jump in on, definitely do so by hitting us up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. On Twitter, you can hit us up as well, DA on CBS. But let's start with maybe the only guy that had a bad All-Star Game weekend. In Charlotte, the stars come together, and here's one thing I really like about NBA All-Star Weekend. The guys want to be there. You always get the feeling that nobody wants to be at the Pro Bowl. There are so many guys that bag out on the Pro Bowl. You always get the feeling now that MLB's All-Star Game is not that fun anymore for the guys. It always feels like they'd rather have that rest in the middle of the season. They'd rather just get it, be able to go home, get some R&R, come back. Even the NHL All-Star Game, it feels like you're supposed to do it, but do we really want to be here if we had an option? The NBA All-Star Weekend always has the stars. Nobody ever goes home, and all of these guys seem to genuinely love being around one another. The game itself is kind of silly. There is no defense being played. Many people have rendered the slam dunk contest to be archaic or stupid or no longer magical. People have tried to shoot holes in all the skills competitions and the All-Star game itself. But let's face it, every star in the NBA wants to go to All-Star weekend. I guess because the parties are amazing, but also clearly because it's a brand enhancer. There's business ties. They get to see their bros, and they genuinely have a great time with one another. So the only guy that could have a bad All-Star weekend, the only guy, is a guy that's had a bad first half of the season and will have a bad second half of the season, Anthony Davis. Because AD in the middle of what is supposed to be this kind of gloriously fun, lighthearted, the boys are back in town type of weekend, he's the only guy that can talk himself into controversy. I mean, nobody else does this. But AD was asked about his list of teams he prefers to be traded to and was kind of shockingly open and candid about it and essentially said that, yes, the Celtics are on my list. Well, whoa, okay. Originally, they were not on the list. But then he doubled back and did an interview with NBA TV and said, no, I didn't mean anything by that. All teams are on my trade list. So what is it? And what are you doing? And where are you going? And what are you trying to accomplish here? And is this just a big orchestration from Rich Paul, who seems to be the puppet master trying to pull all the strings behind you, and you really don't have any control over what is going on? We will play for you the two different sound bites that kind of shows this contradiction from AD this weekend. Is Anthony Davis hurting his own reputation, and does he have any control over what's going on? It is where we begin. It's your cold open.
I'm going to go play for that team. I mean, I have no control of that. You know, my job is to play basketball no matter where I am, and, you know, that's all I'm going to go out there and do. When that time comes, you know, like I said, I'm going to be a free agent in 2020, you know, 2021, and I'm going to test free agency. But no matter where I get traded, I just want to play basketball, you know, and that's what I'm going to do. Whatever list that came out, that's between, you know, my agent and the Pelicans. No, it's true.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes!
It's your cold open.
And then again, AD, after saying that there was a list between him and his agent, then contradicted himself by saying that he's open to all 29 other teams, so essentially there is no list. Here lies the problem with Anthony Davis. He has skewed, he has slid too far away from what makes AD AD. Anthony Davis, over the last 6 years in New Orleans, played a valiant soldier. He was dropping 35 and 15. He was making the difficult or impossible look routine. He was a steadying force amongst all of the chaos around that organization. And you just felt as though this guy's grounded. This guy's a winner. Eventually, he'll figure out a way to get to a winner, or they'll have to surround him with winning pieces because he's just that good. And AD didn't speak out about management. He just said he loved the city of New Orleans. He didn't want to talk about his future. He had re-signed an extension there already. And that he was doing everything the right way. And I think that really was him. I don't think Anthony Davis is the type of guy that wants to go out there and create chaos. I don't think he's Antonio Brown. And yet here he is All-Star Weekend, after leaving a game midway through the game and not coming back to the bench when he left with a pseudo-injury. This is after his agent essentially tried to strong-arm a trade midway through the season. This is after, conveniently, AD's dad said, he would never want to play in Boston. This was after the list came out, the report of the list of the teams that he wanted to be traded to that Anthony Davis nor his agent denied or dismissed. And now we've come full circle where Anthony Davis has apparently added the Celtics to the list, but then also added every other team to the list while doing one 20-minute interview with everybody, a pool of reporters, about everything at New Orleans, and then also to NBA TV contradicting himself in a separate interview. This thing has slid out of control, and I feel as though this is because he has allowed his agents, his publicists, or people around him to dictate what he wants to do and how he wants to do it. I think Anthony Davis, at the end of the day, was unhappy with losing in New Orleans, even though they just went to the playoffs and won a playoff series for the first time ever last year. But this year wasn't nearly as successful. He saw the writing on the wall. LeBron wants him in LA. Boston wants him with the Celtics. So he's being pulled. And I think he finally hit his wit's end in New Orleans. Hey, everybody else is winning. I'm not winning. I want to win, so I got to get out of here. Which I don't think any of us would really blame him for. Now, you might want to stick it out one more year since you'll be a free agent after next season. But if he was in the middle of this year and just sick and tired of losing, I think we could all understand that. But then something went crazy here. And I think it was allowing Rich Paul to dictate how he was going to leave. All right, well, LeBron wants you in L.A. Do you want to play for L.A.? Yeah, man, the dream is alive. Okay, let's be a Laker. That'd be great. Great for your brand. Great for L.A. Hollywood, glitz, glamour. Okay, let's try to get there. How do we do so? All right, let's say we want to get traded. Let's not want to play for the Pelicans midway through the year. Okay, the Lakers, are you guys in? We'll try to pull that one off. Oh, no, wait a second. The Pelicans don't really want to trade you. They're just going through the motions. Now we're mad at the Pelicans. All right, take yourself out of this game. You're injured. We don't want you injured for a team you don't want to play for, especially a team that put you out there and humiliated you in the trade process. Okay, you know what? We're not happy now. When we go out to the NBA All-Star game, there's going to be a lot of media here. Let's say this. Let's say that. Okay, wait a second. That didn't work. Now we want to say this. We want to say that. I just think Anthony Davis is no longer calling his shots. It's exhausting. It's chaotic. It's impossible to follow. And it's a shame. Mostly it's a shame. Because I think AD's a really good guy getting really bad advice. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. Just think about how you view Anthony Davis today versus how you viewed him a year ago. I would say a year ago, you thought, man, that guy's the real deal. Great teammate, grounded, humble, unbelievable player. Anybody would be lucky to have him. Champion in college basketball. He's the total package. Today, you're probably sick of him, wondering where his priorities lie and whether he'll ever be a great teammate again. When we come back here on the show, Colin Kaepernick and the NFL settled on Friday. Who do we believe won this deal? We'll talk about it next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Little wet, little drippy, 24/7.
You think that she might think that he's looking at her as, like, attractive.
And in her dismissive way,
oh,
was like,
wow.
Yeah,
cards
you
on the
like
table.
That fat boy.
Whoa, it was big boy.
Big
whoa.
Boy, big boy.
I know what she said out loud, questioning what she was thinking in her head.
On CBS Sports Radio.
Glad you're with us at a fine Monday, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us. Remember, you can listen to us on your phone if you're outside of your normal listening area, listening to CBS Sports Radio and all of its wonderful affiliates, or SiriusXM Channel 206 on your phone. You can tune us in using the radio.com app, the CBS Sports app, or Apple Music. You can also watch us on any device, including your phone, at watchda.com. It's an Ask the Pros day, so you can send us a question. We'll answer that in the final hour of the show. Just tweet it at me, DA on CBS, and think O'Reilly Auto Parts. For all of your car care needs, get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. The Colin Kaepernick story for many of you, if not all of you, is probably complete exhaustion, fatigue on either side. Whether you support him or do not, find him to be a villain or a hero, my guess is for most, maybe not all, it's been fairly exhausting because we have found no middle ground of the issue, which for me has made it difficult to discuss on this show because I don't feel as though either side respects the other and that if I discuss the nuance or the gray area in there, that it creates enemies on both sides. Nobody wants to hear it, and it's polarizing and aggressive and combative. And that's not really how I want to run this show. I like that sports can enlighten us. I like that sports brings happiness. I like that sports unifies. Those are the reasons I like sports. It's why I've dedicated my life to sports. I find sometimes, though, issues in 2019, even around sports like Kaepernick, to not do much of any of that. And so what's the use? For people to get angry? I don't find the use there. So I appreciated Dan Wetzel's column for Yahoo Sports after the settlement on Friday. Because I think it very clearly, without taking sides, explained it very well. So I want to read to you some of Wetzel's column. Dan Wetzel is one of the best columnists covering sports that we have. And he kind of consistently, I think, very clear-eyed tackles issues. Quote, if this thing ever got to trial, Kaepernick's lawyers probably needed only to hold up a picture of Brandon Weeden on the roster of last season's Houston Texans, and they would have immediately received access to Jerry Jones's personal checking account.
Brandon Weeden's a bum.
Settlement here equals defeat for the NFL. Here's the thing, though. Despite the loss, it stands to reason the league is fairly pleased with how not having Colin Kaepernick around the past two seasons turned out. Following 2016, the NFL just wanted it all to end. Players were divided, coaches were divided, owners were divided. And most importantly, to the league, fans were divided. Owners being owners mostly resented Kaepernick for making them and their business uncomfortable. The all-powerful don't care much for getting poked in the chest. And since the owners couldn't control Kaepernick, or our president Donald Trump, or the reactions each were capable of generating, they wanted it to end. So they got rid of Kaepernick. There might not be some memo with Roger Goodell's signature declaring no one was allowed to sign him, but the message was clear. Kaepernick's benefits no longer outweighed his cost, at least at a league-wide level. That's how it works for all employees, of course. Kaepernick was no longer an elite quarterback. He was better than most guys, but not better enough to endure the backlash. I think this is really important here, this first piece, because people that want to villainize Colin Kaepernick feel like the anthem is above reproach will continually tell me Kaepernick's no good anymore. He's no good. And that's not true. He's not elite, but he's definitely better than some of the bums that played quarterback over the last two seasons. But he's not Aaron Rodgers, and he's not Tom Brady, and he's not Patrick Mahomes. And so thus, any type of distraction, specifically that type of distraction, was easy enough to rationalize not signing him. There might have been part of this where Kaepernick didn't want to completely come back and play unless he was a starter, unless it was for a certain set of money. That could all be true. But I always push back on the idea that Kaepernick wasn't in the league only because he wasn't good enough. No, he wasn't good enough to overcome what the owners didn't like about him or the negative attention he would bring. But he certainly was good enough in a vacuum to play quarterback in the NFL instead of Nathan Peterman or Brandon Weeden or other bozos. More from Dan Wetzel. Kaepernick isn't Tom Brady. Brady could probably burn an American flag in the middle of Gillette Stadium and the Patriots would keep starting him. Kaepernick, though, isn't Tom Brady. He's a smart guy, so he knew that going in. He was free to kneel, and everyone else was free to react as they saw fit to that kneeling. Some loved him for it, some hated him for it. The owners were among the hated him for it group. No one signed Kaepernick, and just as they likely predicted, across the past two seasons, the anthem protest situation simmered down. Almost no one was protesting by the end of 2017, and kneeling was an afterthought in 2018. TV networks even stopped showing the national anthem. The owners were pleased, fans stopped booing, TV ratings surged again, and so now comes the bill. Let's say it's something huge like $100 million in lost wages for Kaepernick, damages, and the convenience of the NFL avoiding discovery. It's a lot of money, unless you're a conglomeration of nearly three dozen billionaires. If it is up to $100 million in lost wages for Kaepernick, that's only about $1.5 million per owner per season. To begin to put what they saw not as a discussion point or a civil protest, but as an annoying threat to their bottom line, they probably would have paid 10 times that amount. So score one for Kaepernick. He stuck to his guns and beat the NFL in a game the NFL rarely loses. But as always, here's guessing the billionaires think they won in the end. Maybe one day in the future, when all the vitriol dies down and the opportunists fade, the entire issue can bring some perspective and discussion. Maybe there's some good to come. Then again, there remains one big question. If the lawsuit is settled, does that mean someone might actually now sign Colin Kaepernick? After all, if Brandon Whedon could get a job...
Brandon Whedon's a bum.
And I think that, to me, is the most clear-eyed way to look at this settlement. The NFL definitely didn't want to go to discovery. They did not want their owners put on trial. They didn't want their owners to openly be discussing what patriotism meant and what the league wanted to be and who was going to sign him and if he was good enough and why he wasn't signed. They didn't want all of that stuff to go public. There was going to be too much damning evidence that the NFL didn't want Kaepernick because of kneeling. Right or wrong? And so they would have paid any money. So Kaepernick, in this case, definitely wins. He wins a lot of money. I don't think you settle with the NFL for $1 million. I think you settle with the NFL for a lot of millions of bucks. But it's overall a win for the NFL because while they, in the court of public opinion, may have admitted collusion, they didn't have to publicly show all the dysfunction or the discussion points or collusion or whatever publicly, so they'll pay whatever. The kneeling went away. It went away. The NFL got its popularity back. The NFL surged. And whether that was for kneeling or whatever, that part of the discussion went away. And so the NFL would pay any amount for it to go away. Anything. So while Kaepernick probably won, quote unquote, the NFL also feels great about this. Great, we get to cut a check and nobody knows the wiser about what actually happened. Cool. And I think in today's day and age, because this was such a hot button issue, people wanted a winner or a loser because everybody was so emotionally invested in either side. And it's not how it came out. And both sides probably feel really good about it. And so it's going to be dissatisfying for a lot of people, but I think it's spot on the way that Dan Wetzel kind of broke it down, because I agree with that. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, Steve Berline's going to join us from the NFL on CBS. We'll discuss the latest in Antonio Brown's missives to try to get traded from Pittsburgh and what he pulled over the weekend social media-wise when it came to Ben Roethlisberger. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
no sweat patented work zone.
Come on, Sean, you're better than that. There's no Boston cream, there's nothing moist. Are you gonna get the donut shop donuts, or are you just gonna get the black, the powder, the crumb cake?
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Thanks for being with us. DA with you here on a fine Monday morning. You can hit us up on Twitter, DA on CBS, and listen to us across the great CBS Sports Radio Network, as well as on Sirius XM Channel 206. That's Sirius XM Channel 206. Joining us here on the show is a good friend of the DA. You've seen him on CBS and CBS Sports Network breaking down the NFL. Our buddy Steve Berline dropping on by. Steve, good morning.
Hey, DA, great to be here, man. Love coming on, and obviously there's always a lot of stuff to talk about, so it'll be fun to get into it.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you. And let's start with Antonio Brown. Over the weekend, Antonio Brown not only says goodbye on social media to Pittsburgh, he then says that Ben Roethlisberger doesn't have respect for him, has an owner's mentality, and then likes a tweet about Big Ben's sexual assault allegations. After all of this, there's no way the Steelers can have him come back on the team next year, right?
You answered your own question right there. I think that in my mind, it was something that was already done. I think most people believe that it was going to be very, very difficult to find a way to make that work prior to all the stuff going on the last few days. But, there's no doubt that with what he's done this past weekend, burning all the bridges and calling people out like he is, there's absolutely no way. And, he's just kind of confirmed everything that he's going through a really bad cycle right now, making some bad decisions, and I don't think it's going to be something that can be fixed in Pittsburgh, and hopefully he'll get his act together and move on and end up having some productive years wherever he ends up.
How much responsibility to this broken relationship do you put on the quarterback?
Well, I don't think Ben has handled it well. Let's not kid ourselves here on that one, but I think Ben has struggled with that part of being the quarterback whenever these issues seem to come up, whenever any of this dysfunction shows itself, he seems to at times put his foot in his mouth and say the wrong things and really not handle it the way that Tom Brady or Drew Brees or Russell Wilson or the other guys that just seem to handle themselves better in those public type of situations. I think Ben has come a long way over the course of his career, but I do think that leadership is something that has been questioned, and this whole fiasco, the way that this has come about, is kind of lending a lot of credibility to that. The fact that he just doesn't always think things through before he says them, and he gets himself into some trouble as a leader, and quarterbacks are expected to do better than how he's handled some of the situations.
Steve Berline joins us this morning here on the show. The fact that this has kind of spun out of control like this, and the fact that Ben Roethlisberger hasn't handled everything all that well, does that speak to Mike Tomlin, that Tomlin should have done a better job keeping this stuff together, or are these just things that are even beyond a head coach's control?
Well, I think that Tomlin definitely has mishandled some of these different situations, and a lot of people believe that by allowing some of these situations to develop and fester and escalate, he's always been kind of referred to as a player's coach, and sometimes when you keep giving people the pass and kind of keep trying to brush things under the rug and minimize things, obviously, like kids, some of these professional athletes, they get themselves conditioned to taking advantage of those situations and maybe not handling them right the right way. And I think, when you look at Tomlin compared to how Belichick would handle some of these things or some of the other more hardline coaches, I think that the fact that these things have been festering for so long, I think Tomlin has handled it well. So there's blame to go around for everybody. I mean, I think all parties involved are guilty as charged. They've handled the situation not nearly as well as they should have, and as a result, we're having this big public disaster from the Pittsburgh Steelers standpoint.
Switching over to Kyler Murray, if you were the Arizona Cardinals and you had that number one pick, would you hold on to Rosen and ignore Kyler Murray, or would there be a part of you that would want to draft Kyler Murray wherever you did and trade away Josh Rosen?
I've been pretty adamant in my opinion of this. I really like Kyler Murray. I think that he is a tremendous person, and I think he's a tremendous athlete. I do think he's got a chance to be a good quarterback in the NFL, but I am not sold on him being a top-notch NFL quarterback, given the size limitations and just the bottom line. There's a lot of people that say he's closer to 5'8 than he is to 5'10. So I have concerns about Kyler Murray. So to answer your question, I would not do that, which I would not take Kyler Murray with the first pick. In fact, I would, in my opinion, I would not take him in the top half of the first round. But that's just my own opinion, and it's nothing against Kyler Murray, because I absolutely think that he handles himself as a very, very professional, mature young man, and I think he's got a bright future, and there's going to be a lot of great things that happen, hopefully in the football field as well. But I just think the questions that are out there about his size, to me, that would scare me away from using that really high pick on him. And I think that the Cardinals should stick with Josh Rosen and try to develop him and see where that goes. It's too early to give up on Josh Rosen, I think.
Where is your hesitations about Kyler Murray most? Is it simply because of size, or also because the type of offense he played in college combined with his size?
I think it's truly about the size from my perspective. I think that he's shown he can throw the football, and he's got the ability to make plays with his feet and with his arm. But there's a huge difference between being that 5'11", 6 foot that Drew Brees is and the Baker Mayfields and the Russell Wilsons, those guys that are pushing that 6 foot number, that's 3 to 4 inches taller than what this kid is, Kyler Murray, and he's going to make spectacular plays with his feet. He's going to be able to make a lot of really good throws, but I think throughout the course of a season, throughout the course of a game, throughout the course of a career, his height is going to give him some problems. These guys are obviously at the next level, the pro level. They're bigger, they're faster, and they will find ways to make his life difficult because of that size. And to me, I'm not saying he's not going to be a great football player. I'm saying there's too many questions in my mind to use a high draft choice on him. I mean, heck, Brett Favre was a second-round draft choice and had a pretty darn good career from what I recall. And Tom Brady was a sixth-round draft choice. My point is that he can still become a great football player. I just think there are too many questions to use that high pick on him.
Steve Berline joins us, CBS NFL analyst. We had the Kaepernick news last week on Friday that he settled with the NFL. How did you read the situation? A lot of people trying to decide who won, who lost there. How did you read the settlement?
Well, I think it probably played itself out the way that it should have, given all the attention and all the different, aspects to the issue. I think Colin Kaepernick, probably did deserve to get a nice settlement out of the whole thing, the way that this thing had played itself out in the court of public opinion. And I think the NFL wanted to just go away. They don't want to have to deal with this anymore. And I think the numbers from what I've been hearing probably came out about where a lot of people thought they would. And I think Colin Kaepernick should be very happy with how it all came down in terms of his settlement. And I think all parties involved want the issue to go away and let people start focusing more on the football and where the NFL is heading in terms of football rather than dealing with this kind of an issue. So, I think I was surprised it happened as quickly as it did, but I'm glad that parties are satisfied and we can let this thing go. We don't have to talk about it anymore.
Some people have thrown out the $100 million number. Is that the number that you're hearing?
I've heard everything from 60 to 80. I hadn't heard the 100 million number, but we know it's a lot of money, and we know that this situation has been eye-opening in a lot of different ways from a lot of different perspectives. It's raised awareness for the cause that Kaepernick has been trying to champion, and but also, you know, it is unfortunate what's happened to him. I personally don't think that it really truly was a situation where he was banned from the NFL. I think if there was a team that really thought he could come in and be a starting quarterback, he would have had a job. Somebody would have pulled him in and brought him in. But I think there are a lot of questions about his ability. There were a lot of questions about his work ethic and about his preparation that went into getting ready for games. And that's why teams shied away from it. They didn't want to bring that circus in, all that went along with Colin Kaepernick, without being sure that he could still produce and play at a high level. So, to me, that's why the decision was made. But the bottom line is that the way the team worked itself out in the public, I think it had to have this ending, and everybody can be satisfied now and just kind of move on.
You're part of the Legends Golf Tour of Ireland. A bunch of Notre Dame greats are going to be going over there. Lou Holtz, Tim Brown, yourself, Rocket Ismail, Reggie Brooks, Rick Meyer, and others. This is pretty cool. This is late April into early May. April the 28th into May the 5th. You get to go over to Ireland. You get to play some golf, some of the best links in the world with a bunch of Notre Dame alum. Plus, fans get to go there as well and buy in. Every year you guys do this, this is awesome. This must be a real treat for you to be able to do.
Well, this is actually the first one. We haven't done this before, so
we were
talking about getting off the ground last year, but it just with Lou Holtz had some health issues with himself and with his wife, Mrs. Holtz, last year. So we ended up postponing it and putting it on hold until this year, and now we're a couple months away from it. And you mentioned all the names of the guys that are going to be there. It's going to be an absolute blast. Executive Global Tours is the company that's putting it on, and the benefit is Lou's Lads Foundation, which is a charity that Lou Holtz set up that benefits the children of his players from Notre Dame that have the opportunity to go to Notre Dame. And it's farther reaching than just that, but it's a really cool charity that Lou has set up that's going to be the beneficiary of the proceeds from this event. Like you said, April 28th to May 5th. We're going to be playing courses like Ballybunion. We're going to play, I'm drawing a blank on some of the ones that are on that ad, but there's Port Marnock, the Island Club, Ballybunion, Old Course. We're playing Tralee, Waterville, a lot of really, really good golf courses, and it's going to be a top-notch trip all the way around. So I would encourage people to go to the website, executiveglobaltours.com, check out the trip. It's going to be an absolute blast, and we're looking forward to it.
Executive Tours, Executive, what was that?
That's Executive Global Tours.
Got it. ExecutiveGlobalTours.com. My mistake, I thought you guys did this last year because we actually talked to Tim Brown about it before it actually went off. I did not realize you guys had to postpone it, but that is very cool that this one's going to be the first one then since Lou is feeling better. So that's going to be very cool.
Yeah, it's going to be really cool. We've had more time to kind of get everything straightened out exactly the way we wanted it to as well. So I think it all happened for whatever the reasons were, it ended up being a better situation than we held off until this year, and it's something that we're looking forward to hopefully building on down the road as well, make it an annual type of thing.
Very cool. ExecutiveGlobalTours.com is the website. I got about 30 seconds with you. Have you watched any Alliance football yet?
Very little. Very little. I haven't had a chance to get caught up in it. I know that they've put an awful lot into it. I know CBS is committed to it as well. With the announcers and from a production standpoint. So I've heard good things, and I'm hoping that it can last. I know the people involved, Bill Polians and Charlie Ebersol and all the different people that are involved are really doing a great job of making a splash initially. We'll see if they can endure for the long term, but I'm excited to watch it a little bit and see what happens out of it.
Yeah, we have football to scratch the itch in the spring, which I absolutely love, so that's a good thing. Steve Berline joining us this morning on the show. Steve-O, it's always great to catch up, my man. If I don't talk to you before this awesome trip, have a wonderful time in Ireland. It sounds great.
All right, D.A., we will, man. You should jump on board. Come on, let's go.
Sounds pretty good. Yeah, I would like to do that. Thanks, Steve.
All right.
Steve Berline joining us this morning here on the DA Show. Good stuff. 855-212-4CBS is our toll-free line. And that is brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com. In 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Speaking of the Alliance, we are less than an hour away, 45 minutes away from Alliance Primetime, where we get to play great old school highlights music, play highlights from the weekend that was the Alliance. Andrew Bogish is your Chris Bourbon. Mraz is your Tom Jackson. It's all coming your way as part of Alliance Primetime Week 2 at approximately 40 minutes past next hour. When we come back here on the show, speaking of Antonio Brown, you just heard Steve Berline weigh in on this. Did AB essentially get himself traded over the weekend? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.